is Channel One Right. Channel One Right. This is beginning of Channel One Right. Beginning of Channel One Right. This is Tuesday, the 28th of July, 1970. Tuesday, the 28th of July, 1970. Ready for the evening news. This is Channel One Right. This is Channel One Right. And we're ready for the evening news. Tuesday, the 28th of July, 1970.
Spiro Agnew today endorsed the television newscaster for election to Congress. Campaigning in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, he gave his blessing to Republican Cole McMartin in the last 2 weeks of the quarter. Item two, the latest report on wholesale prices. Preliminary estimates show that with seasonal adjustments, the index went up 0.8%. Furthermore, within the overall figures, wholesale food prices went down, but the usually more stable industrial prices, which economists often use as a barometer, showed the greatest monthly increase in 14 years. Item three, the federal government itself incurred a $7.7 billion deficit in the last quarter, the first 3 months of the current fiscal year. Administration officials at one time had hoped for a $1 billion surplus at the end of this fiscal year. The sad tidings from General Motors came after Wall Street closed for the day, too late to cause any is winding up his final Campaign 70 drive into the South, appealing to Republican converts to give him a more responsive Congress in this off-year election. Robert Pierpoint reports.
The first stop today was St. Petersburg, Florida, sometimes known as the retirement home for Middle America. The audience was enthusiastic, but a majority seemed to be non-voting teenagers. During the motorcade back...
Oh, I didn't recognize you.
Oh, I'm off to a flying start.
you started off flying.
Yes, the kids are home from school today, you know, because of the homecoming. I've got everybody working.
The whole day? They'd be off the whole day? I thought maybe they'd be there a while.
Well, I thought so too, but they came home yesterday, so there'd be no school at all, so...
None at all.
They'll be here all day. So I've got them digging sand spurs and cleaning yards and sweeping floors. And I'm taking advantage of it.
Yeah. I need to... the homecoming over there with Ms. Guthrie and Marvin.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. Yes, and I didn't learn much. I haven't seen him. Didn't see him afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Who is the Marvin sister who lives between you and the creek? She says she lives in the woods.
Uh-huh.
Back from the road. The heavy lady.
So that's Ella May.
Huh?
Ella May.
Ella May?
Ella May Slayton.
Slayton.
Uh-huh.
And her husband's sort of...
No.
Heavy, huh?
Snow is his name.
Snow Slayton.
Snow Slayton, uh-huh.
Well, he's anything but snow. He's dark complected.
Wait a minute. No, that's Dorsey. Dorsey is her brother, Ella May's and Marvin's brother. Dorsey is the one that just lost his son here, 11-year-old son here, about 3 months ago in a automobile accident, and his 20-year-old son was driving.
Yes, I went to the funeral.
Uh-huh.
You
uh-huh.
were there, too, huh?
Yes, uh-huh. Well, that's Dorsey. That's the father of that boy.
Oh, so he just happened to be sitting with Ella May.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Their brother and sister.
Their brother and sisters.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, let's see. Ella May, does she live back in the woods, eh?
Uh-huh. She lives, she's a heavyset one.
Yeah.
Now, Dorsey's wife is sort of fair complexion.
Uh-huh. Well, let me tell you, Ella May... Now, is she, wait just half a second. Let me tell you, Ella May, now she talked like she had a good sense of humor.
Oh, she does. She does. I wish I had half her sense of humor.
Oh, really?
She's, very jolly and easygoing.
Uh-huh.
And, I've always wished that I was more that type of a person.
Uh-huh.
But I really like her. I don't see much of her because she is back there, and She can get around a lot easier than I can, but she never seems to come over. I don't know why. I think both of us think quite a deal of one another, but we just never see one another as often as I'd, you know, like to see her.
Yeah.
I see her at funerals and once in a great while, things like this, but she never comes to visit. And, well, I guess that's maybe because I don't visit her, because I just don't have the time. I should take off and go over there and see her.
Ella May who?
Slayton. That's the heavyset lady we're talking about. That's Marvin's sister. And then he has Dorsey. And then Clarinelle. Was she there?
Well, isn't she married?
Clarinelle?
No, Ella May.
Ella May? Snow is her husband.
You told me. Well, what does he do?
Let me see. He worked over at the university in plants and gardens or something like this.
Uh-huh.
And he's worked over there for some time, ever since I've known him.
Oh, he's the one that has that nice garden over there.
Uh-huh, I think so. Uh-huh. He's very interested in roses and plants and vegetables and things like this.
Well, they have a pretty interesting time over there.
Yes, they stay quite busy. They don't have any children, but they have their nieces and nephews and whatnot, you know, right close, and she's been quite, involved with the children there, and she goes fishing quite a bit.
Oh, really?
She just takes off. I wish I wish I had her gumption. She just takes off and goes fishing. Gone the full day. If I did that, I'd be grounds for divorce.
You wouldn't hear the last of that, would
no,
you?
That happened the day
you took on one fishing.
We've lived here all this time, and I haven't yet been on that lake. She keeps telling me that she'll take me out, you know, if I'd go over there, but
yeah.
I just never have had the time to go.
Something else.
I'd feel guilty if I did go fishing and leave everything undone.
Yeah. Well, now, let's see. Now, her brother, Slayton, what's his name?
Snow Slayton.
Yeah, Slayton.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he live?
No, that's her husband. Snow Slayton is her husband. Now, Dorsey, you mean? Her brother?
Yeah.
Dorsey Townsend is right next door to her in the back, but you have to, that's sort of a puzzle back there, because you leave the road and you can go three or four different directions. The road branches off. Now, Dorsey's used to branch off far to the right, but I think they cut it off where it says dead end, and then you venture off more to the left and go to his place. But now to go to Ella May and Snow's place, the Slaytons, you would go far to your left after you venture to the left rather than the right or the center, going to Snow's and Ella May's. You can walk across the brook there to Dorsey Townsend's place, or from his place over to Ella May's place. But there's no driveway that connects the two. Often wondered why they didn't put a culvert in there since they were back and forth so much.
Yeah.
But you have to drive way out and then all the way around if you wanted to go from one house to the other.
Yeah. Well, those culverts are not too easy to put in sometimes.
That's right. And pinch hitting ever since they've been back in there, and it's not been too long ago that Dorsey did some cleaning around his house. He had trees going right up to the house.
Oh, really?
And they got some of that out of there and tried to plant some grass, so they have a little bit of yard.
Well, now, what does Dorsey and them do?
Well, Dorsey did work at the university. He's a fisherman by trade.
Yeah.
Catfishing. And he used to have all his children racking lines for him. And
he got a lot of children?
Well, he had, let me see, five children. Then Gary got killed.
Yeah.
And he left him the four. Three is married. No, he had six children. Three is married. The two younger ones is a girl and a 16-year-old boy. The girl is older than the boy,
mm-hmm.
and she left home. She's living in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
She's not proving to be out quite the young lady that everyone wished she would have been.
Yeah.
And then there is the baby, one now, is about 16, and he just this past week, I don't know whether you heard about it, Monday, was in a motorcycle and car wreck.
Mm.
And they think he's in the hospital now, and they think they may have to amputate one of his legs.
Mm.
It's all chewed up, and his shoulder is all chewed up and dislocated and whatnot, so he's having an awful time. Now, they almost lost him here Monday, and here they just lost their baby boy, an 11-year-old, here not long ago. And the 20-year-old that was driving that wreck is just getting over his broken neck.
Yes.
And just before he had that wreck and Gary got killed, he was in Tampa.
Yeah.
The 20-year-old was in Tampa and hit that 19-year-old boy and killed him.
Yeah.
So they really had, and then Marietta, Dorsey's wife, lost her mother shortly before that happened. So it's been one episode for them after another.
Gee whiz.
And I think I've got problems till I stop and think about them.
Mm-hmm.
So he had quite a bit of help with all his children to help him write lines, you know, to catfish. They made quite a bit, but then they got tired of it, or the children got tired or something of helping, and he couldn't get the work out of them. I don't know what the whole story was, but anyway, he left and went to the university to work with Dorsey.
Yeah.
Dorsey got him in there. And that didn't last too long, and he quit that, went back to fishing, and they weren't making enough at it, so Marietta went to work over here at this chicken place where they butcher chickens there on Highway 20 going
mm-hmm.
into Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked her way up until now. I believe she's a foreman or something there.
Oh, gee.
She's doing real well.
Who is Dorsey? Is he the boss over there?
Dorsey Townsend is Marvin's brother.
Yes.
No, he has nothing to do with the chicken place there.
I mean out at the university.
Oh no, he's just works in plants and gardens there with Snow.
Yes.
Like,
I see. Well, look.
They just work on the grounds there, whatever you call it. Caretaking or whatever it is. I'm not too well familiar with it, but I do know that this is what he was doing, something of this sort.
Marvin's brother-in-law is his boss. Is it his brother-in-law?
Marvin's brother-in-law?
Is his boss out there where he works?
It might be, uh-huh.
Who is he?
That's Snow. That's Snow Slayton.
Oh,
and Dorsey, I think, and Marvin was working for him. Now, that might be the way it goes.
Oh.
Now, Dorsey, I don't believe he's back out there again unless he's gone back out recently.
Yeah.
He's been fishing, so I don't think he's working at the university anymore. But it might well be that Marvin is working under Snow, because I think Snow is the one that helped Marvin get that job over there.
Uh-huh. Well, now that's it. Yes, he's a sort of middle-aged fella.
Yes, uh-huh.
About like Marvin.
About like Marvin.
A little less.
I think he's a little older than Marvin.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
And he's jolly.
Yes, he's you know, people like that. I could just sit and talk to them all day.
Uh-huh.
Gives me a better outlook on life. But they're the very jolliest people, both he and his wife. I guess that's why they get along so well together. They just have a very jolly outlook on life entirely. But the other side now, the Dorseys and Marietta's, there's nothing there, you see. They don't seem to have that same personality.
That's curious, isn't it?
sure is.
Let me tell you, I'm using this office phone, and I better not use it too long one time. I'll call you back a little later if I think of something else.
All right. Well, listen, now, we're going to plan on having that hot dog roast sometime Saturday after late Saturday evening.
Are you going to plan on it?
Oh, yes.
All right.
That's tomorrow now.
I told Faye, and she was just, she just eyes sparkled.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm glad y'all like hot dogs. These kids here, they're all American kids, I guess. Hot dogs and hamburgers. Well, listen, can I contact you somewhere today to let you know just what time now?
I'll contact you.
All right. Okay.
See you later.
Don't get me, call me back again because I have to go to the barn again.
Okay.
I've got the vet coming out this afternoon.
All right.
So if I'm not available, call me back again.
All right. Uh-huh.
I told Bonnie, I said, "Oh, that cotton picking phone." That's why I answered.
Let me tell you, I asked you such silly questions. Now, I kind of got them straight. Now, I sat down out here on the porch and collected my wits. Snow and Snow and Ella May then are right helpful people.
Oh yes, they are. They're pretty easygoing. And if you ever needed any help, I think they'd be right there to help.
Yes, but then Dorsey is the one. He's the one that had the trouble.
That's
right.
Uh-huh.
Looks like if he could stay back there and mind his own business, fishing and all, he wouldn't have the trouble, does he?
That's right.
And he got all those children to take care of him.
Yeah.
Or did but they. Children sometimes aggravation, aren't they?
Well, yes, I must say. But I don't know. He's got some nice children, and I think that they've had up to this year. I think they've had a pretty easy go of it with the children. But for some reason or another, there's a few of them that's been rebuking against their parents.
And, yes.
Two, I think the parents haven't been. I don't know, everything in general. I think when she thought she lost her mother, which was the first episode this year, she thought the world was coming to an end, and she's had several breakdowns. So I think that all in all, then they started drinking.
Uh-oh.
And the children then started rebuking. And I think all of it has led from, you know, one thing to another.
Yeah.
Until it's just gotten as bad as it is. But I don't know. The children, I think, more or less went wild after these episodes started happening.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is each thing that happens tears the family apart that much more.
Yeah.
So really, I don't know whether now the children that are married would be of any consolation to their parents at all, you know, any help at all to them, because they each have their own families, and they each have their ideas, you know, about how everything happens in the family. So I think you still have a little chilly effect there, you know, with the older children.
Well, gee whiz.
The younger ones, all they're thinking about right now is a good time and their own lives. So they're not too taking in consideration the loss that their mother's going through, and they're trying to forget. She's trying to remember.
Yes.
And Dorsey is in between, and he's trying to help Marietta. He's done all he can for her, and he can't. He seems to satisfy her, so he's taken to drinking, from what I understand. But when they're around us, there's never any word about drinking, or there's never any. Attitude. You know.
Well, over there at the homecoming Sunday, he looked just as calm and collected.
That's it. Dorsey hides his inner feelings more or less, and he tries to help Marietta. And when he can't overcome this, evidently in his private hours, he wants to drink. And then Marietta took to drinking. So it all comes, you know, from the. One trouble to another.
Yeah. Shelley, who is the family that lives right across the field there from Marvin and Miss Gussie?
That's Pat Townsend. That's another brother of his.
How you spell it?
Pat, P-A-T, Pat.
Oh, Pat.
Pat Townsend.
Pat Townsend.
That's his brother, uh-huh. And he's married to Julia.
Pat and Julia.
Now, you'll hear a lot about Julia from Mrs. Guthrie, so I won't go into her, but...
Yeah. I've never heard her talk about any of them.
You haven't?
No.
Well, I'm surprised. Well, mainly because probably she figures you don't know Julia. And,
yeah.
But if you ever brought the subject up, I'm sure she'd fill you in.
Well, what's Julia doing?
Well, quite a number of things, but... I don't think she's all as bad as Mrs. Guthrie says she is. See, she's Mrs. Guthrie's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And they've tried for years to get along, but I guess it just doesn't...
It's just hard for them to get along.
It doesn't work, yes.
And they feud.
Yes, not quite openly, but behind one another's back, so
yeah.
It's quite funny.
Well, now, let me tell you, Ms. Guthrie just mentioned, we were over there in the kitchen one day, and she had some boiled peanuts.
Uh-huh.
And I said I couldn't stand them. Oh, she says, you don't know what life is. And she says, boiled peanuts and a beer.
Mm.
And she says, that's what you live for. And then she says, that's what gave me high blood. Well, I said, it almost killed me. Well, I said, that's a good way to pass. Oh, she says, no, it's painful. But somebody was over there having a rip-roaring time with them on that boiled peanuts.
Oh?
Who was that?
I don't know. Did you see them?
No.
I don't know unless it would be Joel Smith.
Who?
Joe Smith, a fellow that they know from Gainesville, and his wife is Polly.
Yeah.
And she is a school teacher.
Joe Smith and Carly, she's a teacher in Gainesville.
That's right. And they're pretty good friends of Mrs. Guthrie, so I presume it's probably them. Because
yeah.
They come out and drink with them, I think, and have a time.
Yeah.
With their boiled peanuts.
Yes. Yeah.
And high blood pressure.
Yes.
But I presume that's who it is.
Well, they live in a settlement, don't they? Right in a settlement.
No, that is quite a story, and I haven't... I don't know the people, and I don't know it to be so-so. I don't like to say, but from what I understand, they were quite foolish in trying to invest in a home that they'll never get paid for, from what I hear from Mrs. Guthrie.
Oh, really?
And she said they had a nice home, but they gave it up for a $42,000 home or something like this, and they're making payments on it, and I don't know, it's quite a mix-up there.
Oh, they just go broke paying for a house.
Yeah. So... they wanted to borrow the money from Mrs. Guthrie to make the down payment on the house.
Oh, don't tell me.
And they wanted her to sign for them, you see.
Don't tell me.
Oh, yes. And she wouldn't do it, so they got kind of peeved at one another.
Well, good Lord.
For a while there. And
for a while.
And I guess they're back together again. I don't know. I don't know just how it goes.
Now, that's the school teacher?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they used to come out quite frequently on the weekends. And
yeah.
He and Marvin would ride together and things like this out here. So
ride the horses?
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
And hunt and whatnot. He's a big hunter. During hunting season, Joe Smith is out here quite a bit.
Oh, Joe Smith is and Marvin hunt.
Uh-huh.
Ride the horses out there in the company land.
Bonnie, please let Tommy in. He's going to break that door if you don't. Pardon me?
Let me tell you, you go ahead with
no,
your children.
No, that's okay. Now they're okay. I didn't get your question there, were they?
I just repeated what you said.
Oh. No, they are out quite
Joe
often
Smith.
During hunting season, and they have hunting buggies and whatnot, and they go around on these. And
they have hunting buggies.
Uh-huh. I think this is what he calls his thingamajig.
Yeah.
And two, they go on horseback, so
yeah.
they are quite...
Where did I get the idea that Ms. Guthrie and Marvin were isolated and didn't know anybody?
Oh, goodness, she's into everything. She's quite busy. And if I was as busy as she is, my blood pressure would be up, too. She's in and out of everything, knows everything. I don't know how in the world she gets around and learns all everything she does.
Well, I'll be done.
But,
Well, I didn't think the idea, what the impression, what I thought was she didn't know anything.
Oh,
She didn't keep up with anybody. Now, isn't that awful?
Well, she's, I don't know, she just makes it a point to get around and learn all this news. Well, you see, for one thing, Marvin works during the day, and it leaves her there by herself.
Yeah.
And she will not stay home by herself.
Oh.
So she's off on the road, and as soon as he's gone to work, she's off to find a place to stay for the day.
Oh, really?
So this is where she finds most of her news and gets around, you know, to visit more frequently.
But that's just since Marvin's been out there on that job.
Pardon?
This just since Marvin's been out there on the job.
Yes, When he's home, now she stays home. But now, if he's not there, then she's scared to death to stay there by herself.
Yeah.
So she, and especially if it's coming up rain or something, she doesn't like to be around the house when it's light.
She doesn't.
So I know when it's raining, I know when to expect it.
Listen, you gotta take care of your family. And I'm using this office phone too much.
Well,
I sure appreciate this information.
Yeah.
I needed to know. You see, I don't know any of your neighbors over there. Now, there's one I want to ask you about. If I get the phone again, I'll call you after a while.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's the man down at the end of your lane.
End of my lane.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Boatnight.
Yes.
Hello?
Shirley?
Yeah.
This may be the only last time I'll have a chance to call you. Let me ask you about your neighbors down there.
Okay.
What does he do?
Who's that?
Mr. Boatnight.
Oh, yes. Let me see. He catfishes. Him and a brother bachelor that he has been with him for years.
Uh-huh.
Never left home. Live there. And his wife. And his son.
He and a bachelor brother.
Uh-huh, and a son.
And a son.
That's never married. So, I guess his son must be my age or so.
Yeah.
And they all catfish.
Oh, they all catfish.
They all catfish. They work together.
Uh-huh. Why, Shirley, I didn't know there's that many catfish left.
I didn't either, but they make a good living at it. But that man can catch catfish when nobody else can. He's been at this all his life, and he knows just where to go and what to do with him. And he really can catch the fish.
Is that George?
Uh huh.
George Boatnight.
Uh huh. You've met Faye, haven't you? Shear, the bus driver, the little girl comes down here, the blonde with the curls.
Who is she?
She's the one that drives the kids' school bus. That's Miss George Boatnight's daughter.
Oh, it is?
That's his...
Does she live there?
She lives in the trailer just opposite our driveway.
Oh.
That driveway that you see going back into the woods, as you're going out of our driveway?
Sure.
She lives back in there in a trailer. They used to live right there at the end of our driveway, just as you're going in the gate there. There was a trailer there off to the left as you're going in.
Uh-huh.
But they moved it over there. They bought some ground from their mom and dad, and then they moved the trailer over there.
Well, she's good company.
Who's that, Faye?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. She has two children, one about Danny's age, and a boy, and Danny and Vaughn get along pretty good together. And then she has a little girl about Bonnie's age.
Uh-huh.
So she's younger than Bonnie, but her and then George Boatnight's youngest daughter is about Bonnie's age.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How many he's got?
Well, that's, let me see, there's Tina, which is about Bonnie's age. She's 11. And then there's Faye. She's about 26, 27. And then there's Virgil, and he's the bachelor's son that's living with him now.
Yeah.
And he's about my age. And then there's one... Let's see, there's Virgil. Then there's Donnie, Don Boatnight. He's married, and he lives at the creek with his family.
At the creek?
Uh-huh. Now, they fish. He fishes with his dad and uncle and brother also.
Yeah.
So there's about four of them there that fishes all the time, and they meet every day there at their place. Don meets up here at Boatnight's, at his daddy's place, to rack lines every day. So they all work together.
To do what?
To catfish.
To rack lines?
Uh-huh, rack lines, and then they take them out every morning, and then they go and get them every afternoon.
Oh. Oh.
It's quite an ordeal.
Oh, is it?
It's an everyday affair, you see. The wives of the fishermen all rack these lines. It's quite a... See, they go down and get bait.
Yeah.
The first thing in the morning, then they come back up and blow them dry or something with a fan, and then they take this bait and put it, which is freshwater shrimp, usually, and then they bait these boxes, these hooks, and there's hundreds of them on a box.
Mm.
And I don't know how many boxes they put out, but according to the amount of boxes they put out and how well the fish are biting is what they usually bring in.
Yeah.
No, the amount of fish that they usually bring in. Sometimes they put a box out and they won't get about 5 or 6 pounds of fish on one box. Then other times they get quite a large amount. So
uh-huh.
It depends on how hard they work at it and how much they're going to make.
Is he the head of the family, George?
Oh yes. Uh-huh. Yes, he's the boss, straw boss.
Is he pretty bossy?
Yes, he is. Uh-huh. He's pretty strict.
He cracks the whip.
Well, Mrs. Boatnight doesn't go anywhere, do anything, you know, without he gives her his permission, and I mean she can't even come up here unless he says so. So that's that's how strict he is. He has sugar diabetes, and he has to have a shot every day.
Every day.
Uh huh. So I think this is one reason why he's so demanding over his wife.
Yeah.
Because she has to be right there to give him this insulin shot.
Every day.
Every day. So it's that's one reason why she has to be on the place, you know. Now she goes on to town on Saturday, but she always makes her business to be back and give him the shot on time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, how long has this been going on?
Oh, this has been a couple of years anyway.
Yeah.
And now he knows, he's quite a fellow to talk to. He knows a lot about the past history of Cross Creek.
Oh, does he?
Uh-huh. He's quite interesting. If you can understand him, he's tongue-tied. And his brother is also. And when he goes real fast, I can't understand him at all.
He's tongue-tied?
Oh, yes. You can't hardly understand him. It sounds like gibberish, you know.
And his brother's tongue-tied.
Uh-huh. And now Faye and... Now, one of the boys is a little bit, Don, but I can understand him.
Yeah.
Now, Faye is not that way at all, and Tina isn't either. The baby. But a couple of the... Now, Virgil is very quiet, and he's a legend in his own life there. He's got quite a story behind him. But then they all have their... little impediment in speech, but George and Henry, both of them are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Henry's not as bad as George. George is the worst.
Well, what's Virgil's legend?
Well, everybody has their own opinion of Virgil, and that's quite a story. He's, I think it goes back to his younger days when he was dating.
Yeah.
Probably had quite a heartbreak or something of this effect, and he seems to crawl off and hide like a bear for months at a time.
Oh, really?
And he won't work, and there was a time that he went hippie style. He just went off, crawled off in the back bedroom there, and wouldn't come out for anyone or anything, except to eat a bite and go right back to bed. And this went on for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And And every so often he does this again.
Yeah.
He has a tendency to gain weight. Of course, if anyone eats and goes right back to bed and doesn't do any exercise at all, they're going to gain. They're going to gain. I don't care who he is. Boy, if I did that, I'd never be able to get up.
That's certainly your sight.
Quite a bit of weight, and he is a darling. He's too pretty to be a man. That's the truth. He's really a nice looking boy.
Oh, really?
When we first moved up here, he's got the most beautiful complexion and eyes, and he's just a handsome boy all around. But then he's the real all-American athlete, you know, is what he would really remind you of.
Yeah.
And since he's gone like this, he just thrown his life away, and he's just gained weight till he looks almost just pitiful. Man.
And that's happened since you all been out there?
Oh, yes.
And how old is he now?
Well, he's, I don't think he's more than, 36, 37, somewhere around there. Maybe 38, but that's his.
Well, gee whiz, I thought after you got to that age, you sort of level off.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm still going. I got to watch everything I eat anymore. Up till here, about 2-3 months ago, nothing seemed to bother my weight problem. But here lately, everything I eat seems to be going the wrong direction. So I've got to watch carefully what I'm eating. I think the sugar is taking an effect on me, too. I haven't been taking as well care of myself as I should have been. So.
Yeah, that's one thing you can't let go.
No, and I can feel myself getting real tired and fatigued, nervous. And,
yeah.
And I know that's what's doing it. At least I think so. And I have a few other little problems I'm gonna have to take care of. But I'll just let myself go and take care of everybody else until...
Yeah.
I've got to do something right away.
You going to work with your cattle in time today?
Well, I've got to go down there. I'm expecting the vet any minute now. He's supposed to be out here about 10 or 10:30.
What is it today?
The pink eye again. See, he gives them a double shot of that pink eye medicine in their upper lid.
Oh, yes.
And they're doing real well, though.
Yes.
I'm real proud of them because it's clearing up. And I had a time getting him out. He was supposed to have been up here yesterday, and I couldn't get one of them in the pen.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you something. My daughter got on her horse last night and worked with those cows, and you should have seen her. That was a picture that I would have never believed unless I saw it in my own eyes. But she got that horse and cross-cut that field so many times and got that cow out of there in no time at all.
What do you know?
And she's never had the experience of even watching anyone.
What do you know?
So she's a born cowhand, I guess. She did real well. I was real proud of her.
Now, you talking about your neighbor's cow?
No, this is ours.
You talking about your own?
The ones I couldn't get into the pen like
yes.
to get the pink eye treated.
Yes.
So,
and she brought them up for you?
Uh-huh. She did real good.
On the horse.
That's right. I was going to do it myself yesterday afternoon, and my back was giving me so much trouble, I didn't dare get on him.
Yeah.
So I left him, and hoping that she could do something with him, and sure enough, she got out there and worked real good with him.
Uh-huh.
She got that horse and those cows out in no time at all.
Oh, I didn't know.
But I wish you could have watched her. She did real well.
I wished I could have.
And that was the first time, you know, she's really done any work like that at all that I know of.
Yeah.
And she's real good at it.
I'll see you.
Okie doke. Well, listen, we'll have that hot dog roast around 6 or 6:30, somewhere.
That'll be fine.
There. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be looking for you then.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Well, I see your telephone's still ringing.
Oh, yes. it's kind of got a buzz or a static or something or another on that, but I can hear, I guess. It's I think it's in this end of the phone because every time I call Gainesville or something, I still get it.
Yeah, I hear that.
Uh-huh.
I had noticed it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A little trouble.
Let me, you need anything tonight?
Not a thing. Just
Faye just looking forward to that. She just loves a party, you know.
Oh, boy, good.
And Halloween and things like that are just her meat.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she thinks I'm dull because I don't care anything about them. I don't care anything about them. I like the parties, but let me ask you, what happened to, where is Floyd?
Floyd? Who's Floyd?
Floyd Townsend.
Hmm?
Floyd.
I think he's the one boy I don't know very much about. He lives off somewhere.
Oh.
I don't know too much about him.
Oh, I see.
I didn't even know what his name was. There's one of them. Berman knows him by sight.
Yeah.
I've only heard very, very little about him, you know. I know he exists, but I don't know anything. I don't even know whether he's married, has any children, or where he lives. I know he's off from the rest of the family.
Now, there's a whole lot over towards Hawthorne. Now, you haven't run into them.
No. I think that's another branch of them.
Yes.
I don't know just how they're related.
Let me tell you, did you run into this nice-looking young lady? She's an old maid, Annie Mae.
Over in Hawthorne?
She goes to the church over there at Windsor.
Let me see now. Annie Mae, she's a redhead?
No, she's dark complected.
No, I don't know her.
She's a little slender, stoop girl, woman. She's 45, 40,
uh-huh.
45.
Uh-huh. No, I don't know her.
Oh, she's out of your beat.
Uh-huh.
Well, who else, which other ones live along there?
Well, you about know all the ones that I've...
Pat and Snow and Dorsey, are they the only ones?
Yeah. Let me see now. Pat, Snow, no, there's Clarinell, his sister, lives in a little trailer right off from us here, and she lives with Marlo, some say they're married and some say they're not, so all the family say they're married.
Yes.
So, I don't know too much about them. They're fishermen, and he goes all over to fish. She's in Georgia right now, and she's with him.
Really?
Fishing, but usually she used to stay here quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a very local girl, but I think he gets off every now and then. He's been... somewhat captured for illegal possession of alligators and things like this, you know, going against the law to
they're still living in the old times, aren't they?
Yes, uh-huh. Very much so. Harlow is. And
now that's Clarinell and Harlow.
That's Clarinell, Marvin's sister.
Yes.
And,
Marlow.
Marlow is Clarinell's
husband. Clarinell and Marlow. And they live right there close to you.
Right there at that little trailer. You noticed it, I'm sure. You're going out of the driveway, and it's the first trailer on your right, the first place on your right on the highway, as you're leaving our place going toward the creek.
Oh, on the other side?
Uh-huh. See Faye's trailer, although you can't see it, is right opposite our driveway.
Oh.
And then her trailer is to the left. On the highway.
Yeah.
So you can see Clarinell's trailer from here, or from the end of our driveway as you're turning in our driveway, but you can't see Faye.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, gee, that's, they've really settled down, haven't they? Most people just fly off to the cities.
That's right.
Disappear.
That's right. But, you know, I think they all had a good living. But, you know, there's not very many of them that's in the best of health. They all have heart trouble. Most of them do. Marvin has a little bit of heart trouble. And Clarinelle has very poor health. Ella May, I don't think she's got a thing wrong with her. Ella May.
She looked healthy.
Yeah, she's a jolly sort. She'd make a good Santa Claus.
She knows it.
No, she don't. She's not that. I think she's just so easy going.
Easy
tempered. That she just gets along with anybody and everybody, and she just.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I never have heard her raise her voice or say a mean word against anyone.
Yeah.
And now Mrs. Guthrie is just the opposite.
Oh, wait a minute. What about those taxes?
The what?
Ms. Guthrie's taxes. she got a new... They've gone up on her again?
Well, I don't think they went up too much more than they were last year. Maybe a little bit more because of the millage, you know. But,
yeah.
Grumman says they're they're honest people, I guess, and we're not, maybe. They listed everything and everything that they had. Grumman forgot half of what he had.
Oh.
So I think maybe that's one reason why. But, Lordy, we'd never be able to pay everything that would be expected of us if we did. Because
they're honest?
Well... In one way of speaking, that way they reported everything, I guess, because she thought she'd get caught up with, and we may yet, I don't know, but we didn't list exactly everything.
Well, hell, so. She got that field over there. What's the name of that place across from you there?
Denham Place.
Denham Place. Not even house over there. She can stick stuff over there. Nobody tax.
Yeah, I know it.
Man, go over there, he wouldn't know who it was.
Yeah. So, she's paying taxes there where... We're not even paying a fourth where she's paying the full amount, and that burned her up. So she says, "What can I do about it?" Burma says, "Nothing you can do about it now."
You already let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
She's a bird, isn't she?
Oh boy, I'm telling you.
Well, let me tell you, I called her yesterday, and she wasn't home. She'd already gone, hadn't she?
Well, she's in and out when Marvin's there.
Yeah.
See, he was home a half a day yesterday.
Oh, was he?
And when he's there, she goes with him quite a bit.
Oh, I see. Well, you know when I called you, I called over there. I just wanted to check in. I hadn't seen him for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody...
I thought maybe I could get her to the hot dog roast, but I haven't been able to catch her either.
Oh, really?
Yes. Maybe she can come over. You might be able to learn a little more from her.
Yes, that'd be nice. Yes.
But I couldn't get it. Couldn't. I'll keep trying and see if I can get her today.
You know, after that little funeral, I'd forgotten it. I saw several people there, and I had no idea who they were.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't see you, Ms. Guthrie, or anybody for... Oh, a month or two after that, and I've forgotten now who all was there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there was quite a few people there, and there was one there that I'm dying to find out who he is, and I don't know, and then when I ask, they sort of clam up and don't say anything about him. That's getting my goat.
Oh, really?
It's got my curiosity.
Well, I don't need to know everybody, but, you know, I like to know a few people.
Well, this one in particular, everybody kept scowling at, you know, and he was off to himself, more or less, and he didn't mix and mingle with the crowd, and yet he resembled them, the family, you know.
Yeah.
And sort of sheepish-looking, and he was more of a hippie-style person.
Oh.
Did you notice him there?
No. I lost out. I missed out on that.
And no one seemed to care to introduce him to anyone, so he was sort of left in the shadows. And I wondered who this might be. And
yeah.
I've asked several people, and they say, "Oh, well, I'll tell you sometime, and that's all there has been to it.
Oh.
So, I'm still wondering.
That's nice. So, Shelly, I'll see you.
Okie doke. We'll see you then around 6.
Anytime.
Okie doke.
That's around 600, somewhere around that. That was this week. I forget what day. The week of the first week of November 1970. Channel 1 right up to around 600 or 650. There's a good bit left on this side of the tape. I check in with Shirley about the Townsends, mostly about the Townsends. I couldn't get the information where I could get hold of it. I'd check in with Shirley about the Townsends, and that was my start. I started from there, Channel 1 right, around 600 or 650.
Hello?
I just wondered...
Hi.
...if you're catching your breath.
Oh, I'm telling you. I really... You know, I had everything planned yesterday, what I was going to do today, and I wanted to get that heifer in early.
Yes.
I might as well have just forgot about it because they've changed my mind every which way. Everybody has 10 things for me to do this morning.
Oh, you haven't,
I'm supposed to take them Christmas shopping, and I'm supposed to go in 4 different directions.
No heifer.
Berman wants me to get the heifer in. He's down there working, and he ran out of some, I need some tools. I had to run those down to him, and I haven't got anything done, period.
What's he doing?
Oh, my. He's doing some disking over there in a grove for, I don't know what the fellow's name is. He's new. He bought a place down here at the creek.
Oh, yeah.
And it's those little orange grove. That little orange grove just, you know where Mrs. Williams used to live.
Yeah.
It's just on the side closer to the creek there, her. Just on the other side of
the
house.
Oh, yes. Yes. And they're going to patch up that little grove.
Uh-huh. And he's building a home back in there.
Oh.
So I don't know what they. I haven't yet met the people, but he had that discount to do, and he couldn't get Mr. Sykes to do it. He did it last year for him, but Mr. Sykes is busy with his sugar cane this year, so Berman went down to help him out.
Mr. Sykes.
Uh-huh.
Who is he?
Morgan Sykes?
Yes.
You don't know Morgan Sykes?
No.
He lives going on toward Island Grove.
Yeah.
Before you get to the highway.
Yeah.
There's one little house that used to be there, and they tore it down. Then there was another house there. Then there's a little driveway. This is coming from the from Island Grove.
Uh-huh.
On the right-hand side as you're coming in from Island Grove.
Yeah.
On 325. There's the one little house that's on the corner was tore down, and then there's another little house, and then alongside this house runs a dirt road. You can see the Mr. Morgan Sykes' place from the highway.
Yeah.
And their place sits right in there. And they've had a sign up here for some time with a horse for sale and whatnot. He grows sugar cane back in there every year and puts it up.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Every year.
You get some?
Well, we have up to last year, and each year it kept getting a little bit thinner. They weren't cooking it down as much. And last year it wasn't near as good, and we swore we wouldn't get any more because every year it kept getting a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We always have a craving for that fresh syrup when they get through with it.
Yeah.
I'll make some pancakes, and Berman enjoys that, so he always ends up getting a bottle anyway. But I think he complained last year because it was a little bit thinner than he
That's right. For. And you could cook it down, but it wouldn't be the same.
That's right. There's something about it. After you reheat it again, it just doesn't...
You know, I never had any of this cane syrup right out of the mill like that until... this last year, and I joined in with the Van Arnhems. They did it just for the children, the colored woman that worked for them. had this mill, and had made syrup for 50 years over there, over towards Flemington. I went over there with them, and always in, over there a lot of times. But the day they cooked it off, we got a little bottle of it, and that was the first, and the taste of it, and it was, like you say, it was thick. And the taste of it was entirely different from what
what you buy. If you get it, it's, you know, if they do it right, it tastes real good.
Yeah.
Has a flavor all its own. But,
oh, yes.
But this here, I don't know, they get impatient, I guess, and they don't let it cook as long as it should. And then, too, they do it at nighttime. And you know how bad the bugs are at nighttime, especially when, in the warm weather we've been having.
Yeah.
And that those bugs are bound determined to get into that syrup. And I just can't stand to pour it on my pancakes and look at it and think, well, there might be a bug in there.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to cover it. They don't have a screen-in place to work in there.
Well, let me tell you what they do. A person can grow his own cane and take it over there and cook it down.
That's right.
And you can grow cane in 1 year.
He grows the same patch of cane on the same patch of ground every year. I mean, the same cane on the same patch of ground every year.
Yeah.
Looks like to me it would be hard on that ground. I don't guess there's anything else they can put there because the cane takes so much out of the ground.
They suppose change it every year, too,
aren't
they?
That's what I thought. But evidently they don't. Every year since we've been here, they've had the same patch in
there. Same patch.
Game.
Well, a little easier that way.
Oh, yes. And they say that you can't possibly grow anything else where cane has been, so I guess maybe that's the reason why they do it that way.
Well, I didn't realize cane was so hard on it.
Well, it takes quite a bit out of the soil, evidently. They have to doctor it up after using the ground for cane.
Yeah.
But it drains it, evidently, from what I've heard.
Let me tell you, you know, if I could... if I could get relieved of some of my little unprofitable undertakings over here, I'd love to have some cane and take it over there and cook it off. You see, if they keep the mill going and they got the wood and everything, and all you got to do is take your cane over there and take it through the mill and juice it. And they help you, you know. They'll help you with the boiling it off, cooking it down. And you see, you can do that in these time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And have 20 or 30 gallons of cane of first-class syrup. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I tell you, they sell it over there just as hot, fast as they can make it.
Yeah.
I've been over there, and the people just stand around waiting for it. So it is pretty good. But then, like I said, each year it's been getting a little bit thinner, so it discourages you, you know, from wanting to buy it again. But we always end up going back for more. So it does.
When he's not making cane, he... does a little custom work?
Yes, he does, and he has arthritis, I guess, or rheumatoid arthritis in his knees and joints, you know, and it's hard for him to get around with his legs the way they are.
Oh.
And he has it in his back, and he's getting up in years, and it's not as easy for him to get around as it was here about 5 years ago. And I haven't seen much of Morgan Sykes, I guess, in the last 2-3 years since we quit going to church over at Island Grove.
Yeah.
And since then, he's been getting, you know, a little more feeble as time goes by. But they say he's up and around where there for a while he was just ready for a wheelchair. So... he's doing a lot better, I guess, now than he had been. But he isn't able to get out. He's got some boys, which are married, and I think one of them lives right close by there, or a couple of them. Now, I don't know how much they help them out, and I don't know how much work the boys do, but I do know they have their full-time jobs, and what they do at home, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've kind of gotten lost, you know, with them here lately. Last time any of us was over there, Berman went over to get syrup here last year, and then he wasn't there long, so we haven't, you know, really visited and lost touch of one another.
Let me tell you, you've got to go. Let me ask you, Shirley, this, I didn't know you had gone to church at Island Grove.
Oh, yes. That's where when we first went to church here, when we first moved here. We went over there for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, you'd know everybody around then, wouldn't you?
Over there at Island Grove, yes, quite a few.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they're still quite fond of all those people over there, and they are of us. They come by to see us once in a while, and, when they're over this way, and we try to keep in touch with them as much as we can. If any of them are sick or in the hospital, we always try to get in to see them that way, but we just can't seem to get over there to sit and visit.
Oh, yeah.
Just time just seems to be passing us by, but here just recently, a girl that, let's see, Mr. Harris, the vegetable man, everybody calls him, comes over here and brings us vegetables once a week. And his daughter and I had gotten to be quite close friends when we first moved down here. She had one little boy about the age of my Timmy, and I kept asking her to hurry up and have another baby so she wouldn't be raising this one by herself. So finally, they moved off, and we lost touch with one another, and finally she came back, and I was invited to a baby shower over at Island Grove, but I didn't know who for.
Yeah.
And so this was quite a surprise. I went to the baby shower. I took time to go because I was kind of suspicious that it would be her.
Mm-hmm.
And bless my soul, she hadn't had a fine boy here just recently.
Mm.
So we are kind of getting back in touch again with these people.
Gee whiz.
But,
you.
there's just lots of people around that I wish I did have time to go and visit with.
Shirley, what happened to your heifer? I mean, what cow is it that you had going pin over there?
This is, I don't know whether you remember this old cow we had here or not. Old 49, we used to call her.
Yeah.
Old Molly. She was one of the ring leaders of the herd. She used to bring the herd up. She's real gentle and would do anything with it. She's half Guernsey and half Hereford.
Yeah.
She was one of the first we started out with.
Yeah, I remember.
And I wanted to keep the calf that she had before this last one, which is about, the cow being calf would now be about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to end up selling them because we needed the money, and I hated it. So I said if she ever had another heifer, I was going to hold on to her. Well, she had one here 15, 16 months ago. And turned out to be a beautiful heifer, but when the calf was about 4 or 5 months old, a man came by here and he offered me such a good price for her, I couldn't refuse him. And I let her go. I sold her, the mother, and the calf. And he ended up, I told him, I said, if you ever sell either this cow or this calf again, let me know before you sell her. And I said, if I've got the money, I want to buy them back. So he did. He called me when he wanted to sell the cow. And he was really asking more than I got for her. And I told him I couldn't pay that kind of a price. So he ended up taking her to market and didn't get near the price he asked out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So then when he went to sell a heifer, he couldn't take the heifer to market. He couldn't bring it up to sell her because she's too beautiful of a cow. You know, she's a real nice cow. She's 15 months old now. So he called me and he asked me if I wanted to buy her back. And I said, I most certainly do, if the price is right. He said, I'll sell her for exactly the same amount that I bought you, I paid you for her here when she was a calf. And I said, well, no, you're not making any profit there. And he said, no. He said, I don't want to take her to market. And I took such a beating before on the cow. He said, I'd rather give her to you than to take her to market and just give her away.
Hmm.
And the market then was down. So I went over and looked at her, and I gave him his money, and we bought her. And the reason, too, that he didn't want to take her to market is because the calf had gone wild, and he couldn't catch her. And every time he'd pin her, she'd jump out. So this is a problem I've got now. I brought her back, but I thought I could gentle her down because I know the background of the cow. I know that the mother was real gentle and the bloodline and everything, so I know that there's nothing, no reason why that cow should be wild, other than the handling she's had. So Berman and I have gone over there now four Sundays in a row to get that heifer, three Sundays, last Sunday was the third Sunday.
Sure, let me pick this up right just a minute.
Little time in the Liwa Oasis, he returned across the stony deserts that lay west of the Oman Mountains. Then a second, even longer crossing took him into the lands of the Mura and the Dawazia, where at one stage he was thrown into prison. 5 years after his arrival, his journeys were so numerous and so remarkable that he was now a legend among the Bedou. In 1950, he went to Dubai. His work for the Locust Research Center was nearly complete.